We'd like to open our Bibles, if you have it, we'll have your Bible with you, to the book of Philippians, and it's chapter 4, and we're going to be reading from verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these. Those things which ye have learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly, that now at the last your journey and care of me has flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. I will end our reading at verse 13. A few months ago, I started reading a book which was written by Jeremiah Burroughs, an old English Puritan preacher of the 15th century. The book is called A Rare Jewel of Christian Contentment, and it's a book that I would thoroughly recommend for every Christian to read if they can get it. While reflecting especially upon the title of this book, I was reminded of the portion of the scripture that we've just read, and especially those words in verse 11, where the Apostle Paul pens these words, "Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith be content." There seems to be no doubt that the COVID-19 pandemic will bring with it many changes and many challenges in the way we live our lives and in the days ahead. However, the one thing that will not change is man's sinful nature. The sinful emotions of lust, envy, greed, covetousness, anxiety, hatred, will all manifest themselves, whether it be through theft, bribery, murder, lying, adultery, drunkenness, deceit. The inability of man to be content and satisfied with what he has drives him towards wanting and gaining more. Incapable of slowing down and stopping to consider his sinful condition before God, gratitude has been destroyed by greed. Want has been replaced by need. Giving has been substituted by getting. And is it not regrettable but true that we live in an age where this ethos can and indeed does influence many of God's people today? So many Christians today show little signs of true spiritual contentment. While looking at verse 11, I kept asking myself several questions. What did the apostle mean when he said, "I have learned in whatsoever state I find to therein be content"? What was it Paul had learned, and what did he mean by content? It's worth noticing from the start that Paul is absolutely clear that this contentment was something that he learned. He doesn't say that it was something that he set out to learn, or that he'd been told by someone else that he needed to learn it. However, time doesn't allow us to develop on this point, but it's something that you might want to study on your own. Could I suggest that you commence perhaps at Acts chapter 9 and verses 15, 16 and 19. The first thing that I believe Paul realized and reconciled was that for him to be content, he had to be in Christ. True contentment is spiritual and can only be found in Christ. In John chapter 16 and verse 33, our Lord said these words, "These things I have spoken unto you, that ye might have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." And in Luke's Gospel, chapter 12, verses 29 and 30, when our Lord has warned his followers against worldly anxiety, he said, "And seek ye not what ye shall eat or drink, neither be of doubtful mind, for all these things doth the nations of the world seek after." And in John's Gospel, chapter 14, verse 27, he says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth you, give I unto you. You see, you can't have tribulation and peace and contentment at the same time unless you have Christ. Paul knew this and Paul understood this. In verse 7, you have just read, Paul says this, "And the peace of God that passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." I believe that Paul would have been familiar with these scriptures from the time that he spent with the disciples immediately after conversion. And again, you'll read these in Acts chapter 9 and verse 19. As followers of Christ, we are in him. Acts chapter 17, verse 20, it says, "In him we live and move and have our being." It's only when we are in Christ we can gain true Christian contentment. Does the Bible not say godliness with contentment is great gain? Paul had this wonderful assurance. He knew whom he had believed. He also knew that God would supply all of his needs. He was able to say, "Now unto him that is able to keep me from falling, to keep you from falling, and present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy." Knowing all these things, it's no wonder Paul had contentment. The world had no attraction whatsoever to Paul. And so should it not be with the Christian. We shouldn't be setting our affections on the things of the world, as we already have everything in Christ. The second thing that I would like us to take note of is that I believe that Paul recognized that the true contentment could only come through Christ. Look at verse 13 of the passage we just read. Here Paul says, "I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me." And this includes being content. Note that Paul didn't say, "I might be able to do these things," or "that I hope I can do these things." Paul was completely confident to be able to say, "I can do all these things through Christ." Look at verse 7. "And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts," that's your feelings, "and your mind," and that's your thoughts, "through Christ Jesus." Again, this includes contentment. Paul knew from his experiences that whatever the situation or circumstances he found himself in, that he could depend on the Lord to strengthen him and to enable him to cope with that situation. In John chapter 15 and in verse 5, our Lord says, "Without me, you can do nothing." Again, the Lord is talking about not having contentment. In 2 Corinthians in chapter 12 and verse 9, the Lord answers Paul, who had besought him three times in respect to the thorn in the flesh. The Lord says to him, "My grace is sufficient for thee." And then the next verse, verse 10, he says, "For when I am weak, then I am strong." Paul was made strong through Christ. Paul knew from experiences that the Lord could supply all his needs according to his riches in Christ, in glory by Christ Jesus. He knew how to be abased, and he knew how to abound. This could only be possible by Christ working in Paul and through Paul. And it's through Christ's work in our hearts that such contentment is given birth and grows within us. Another thought, my final thought on this is this. I believe that Paul knew contentment because he knew that he had Christ with him. As mentioned in my introduction, Paul makes it very clear in verse 11 that the contentment wasn't true contentment, because true contentment only comes through spirituality. It only comes through being saved. It only comes from knowing the Lord Jesus Christ as your own personal Savior. Contentment is something that if we look at it ourselves, we recognize and we realize that we can never truly be content. Young's Bible Concordance defines the word content as self-sufficiency, or to have sufficiency in oneself. However, it's very clear that man can never be completely self-sufficient, Complete self-sufficiency is an attribute that belongs to God and to God alone. God possesses self-sufficiency. Only God is self-sufficient. The Greek meaning of the word suggests that this sufficiency comes from a source outside oneself. And since God alone is all-sufficient, Paul cannot be speaking about himself. He can't be speaking about his own self and his own sense of self-sufficiency. He was depending upon El Shaddai, the God who is sufficient. Paul knew he had all sufficiency with Christ and that all sufficiency belonged to God with him. I also want you to note the tense in which the verses worded. Both the phrases I am and to be infer both the present and the future tense and the future state. I am, it says I am, not I was. And it says to be, not I used to be. Paul was confident. Paul knew the state that he was in, that he, as he said, I am in, present tense. It didn't matter to Paul what he was doing. He said, I can do again. I can is present tense, clearly indicating that it was because Christ was in Paul, because Christ was with Paul, that he was being strengthened during all the times of need and plenty, and that he can do all these things. It's also very clear from these words that Paul had experienced great presence, he had experienced Christ's presence in the past in relation to previous circumstances. Otherwise, he wouldn't have been able to say in chapter 1 of verse 6 of Philippians, being confident in this very thing, that he that hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. In chapter 3 of verse 7 and 8 he says, but what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. And in verse 8, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them as dung, that I might win Christ. Paul knew the presence of Christ with him. He counted everything but loss. Nothing nothing was relevant to Paul except the presence of Christ in his life. In conclusion, I'd like to leave you all with one final thought. In Acts chapter 9 and verse 15 and 16, we are told that our Lord had chosen Paul. Paul was a chosen vessel. The Lord Jesus Christ set his mark upon us. When the Lord Jesus Christ saved us, we became children of God. We became new creatures in Christ Jesus. The Lord Jesus Christ chose us from before the foundation of the world. We are chosen vessels. In verse 16 of Acts chapter 9, the Lord, speaking to Paul, said that he'd show him the things that he must suffer. Paul had been given a look into the future of his life. Paul had been told by the Lord Jesus Christ after he'd been converted that the Lord was going to show him what he must suffer, what he would endure for Christ's sake. This left Paul undaunted, however, for the very simple reason. Paul knew that God was in control. Paul knew that the all-sufficient God was guiding him, was controlling his life, was controlling absolutely everything he could do. In chapter 2 and verse 13 of Philippians, Paul was able to say, for it is God which worketh in you to will and to do his good pleasure. Paul was totally and absolutely convinced that with God and Christ by his side, he could do all things. The Lord Jesus Christ has also given us a view of the future. All we need to do is read Matthew 24, Luke 21, Mark 13, verses 13 to 36, 1 Timothy 4, verses 1 to 3, 1 John chapter 2, and verse 18, 1 Corinthians 15, verses 51 and 52, and there are many others where the Lord Jesus Christ has told us what we can expect in the last days. There'll be a falling away, there'll be a departing from the faith. There'll be wars, there'll be rumours of wars, there'll be great tribulation. All these things are going to happen. So let me ask this question. Can we honestly say with Paul that whatsoever state I am in, I have learned to be content. Content in Christ, content through Christ, and content with Christ. I trust we are. And if we're not, let's look at what the apostle says in verse 6. Be careful for nothing. Be anxious for nothing. But in everything, everything we say, everything we do, whatever circumstances we're in, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God. I trust that this brief message will encourage us to learn to put our trust completely in Christ, that we will live our lives through Christ, and that we will know that Christ is with us.